be honest,
because
it worked out better because all my changing, feeding.
Yeah, you had to go with like, okay, next, next.
Ready to go?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will apologize in advance. I have a little bit of a frog in my throat. I promise it wasn't for yelling at my children yesterday. We had the benefit of Amy's godmother coming over and hosting her yesterday, and the children were very excited to see her. Very excited. So as we go through the announcements, one thing I will say is when we go through the birthdays, I remember a day on my 30th birthday when First Presbyterian decided to hold service instead of the normal sanctuary like here. We would hold sometimes in the summers in a smaller chapel, and I cannot remember the name of the chapel to save my life today. I'll remember it driving to my folks later today. But we would hold it there, and we would do prayers of the people, but we would call it praises and concerns. And I stood up and said, you know, I'm Whitney, and today is my 30th birthday. And some wag in the back, you could do it, Larry, said, is that a praise or a concern? So today is my birthday. We will ignore the number, but the question is it a praise or a concern? For your yes, better than the alternative, but you can decide amongst yourselves. Sir? It depends on your point of view, I suppose. I mean, it's a praise that I've made it. It's a concern that the number keeps crawling up. 39? Excellent. I'll take that. Okay. Pastor Jason is on sabbatical, and so he's not available through mid-June, though he has texted me on a couple of occasions about his fish. For pastoral needs, please contact Elizabeth Mills, and administration, please contact Jennifer. And the day school summer sessions are on the screen. I won't read all of them. Next slide, please. Food pantry, please, please. It's amazing. We live in Williamson County, but there are families who food security is a real thing. So please check the list on the bulletin board and help keep our pantry filled. Lunch bunch, Hoppy's Harbor Grill, Tuesday, June 10th at 11:30 a.m. Please RSV by Monday, June 9th, which would be tomorrow. And the Food Truck Fest, Friday, June 13th, in the historical Nolensville School from 4 till 8:30 p.m. Church camps, Nashville Presbyterian Church Camp, and the different camps for grades 2 through 12, please contact Elizabeth for more information. And we have some nice pictures. And this is of, someone help me. Really good ice cream. Yeah. Really good ice cream. Sales point.
I will have July soon. Ready
okay.
To go. So just keep it open.
Okay, sounds good. Are there any other announcements? Hearing none, let's prepare our hearts and minds for worship.
Thank you.
please rise for the call to worship. From Psalm 104. O Lord, how manifold are your works.
In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures.
May the glory of the Lord endure forever.
May the Lord rejoice in his works.
May my meditation be pleasing to him, for I rejoice in the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
Prayer of Invocation. Dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for this place, these people. For people on sabbatical and people who volunteered to lead us in worship today. Thank you for birthdays. Thank you for churches. Thank you for the changes in our town. Be with us today, Lord, as we go about our day. And if we forget about you, please don't you forget about us. Amen.
Good morning, Jenkins.
Good morning.
I have been in a singing school all week, about an hour and a half north of here. Sorry, some things make my teeth itch. So anyway, we've had a wonderful time, but my voice is weak. So if there's going to be some good singing, it's going to need to be from all of you. I will give you all I have. I will need some of your help, and let's meet together and sing together. Let's go to number 295, Revive Us Again.
Today's scripture of assurance is from Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 21. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
All right. I absolutely love this song, and I grew up singing this a lot in church, and I love the hymnal that we use, but if I had to offer one criticism, Miss Janice and I had talked about this week, there are verses to this song that are missing. But the message is so true to all of us. When we are dealing with our jobs, where we're dealing with those people, whoever those people are, and we find it hard to show grace, folks, we need to remember to turn our eyes upon the Lord. So, as we sing, don't sing it to me or sing it to your neighbor. Sing it as if it were unto the Lord. Let's turn our eyes upon Him just for a little while. Received a text that Miss Svetlana would be here with us today on to worship with us. And I have heard so much about Svetlana and her wonderful harp playing. And I love that we get to see the harp in action. I think it's a sad thing that in worship services, the harp has been kind of a retired instrument in many ways. But I love to see the Psalms lived out, getting to hear the harp itself. So, Svetlana, thank you so very much for being with us this morning. And at this time, I'd love to hear anything you have to say or anything you'd like to play for us. Thank you. Thank you.
Today. Offering. I'm old enough to remember passing the plate in church and actually passed it around myself as a child in both Presbyterian and Catholic services. But we no longer do that. Ways to give are on the screen, and thank you so much for everything you do. This church supports so many with it. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here today. In all my years, I've never preached here before. Now, I knew Larry Guin. I've known him all my life. And we were students at Bethel University. And I knew him long before Elizabeth came into the world. And so we've been friends so long. Nancy and the Kinsey group here, it's good to see you. Nancy used to ride from Madisonville, Kentucky. When I was living in Fredonia, she'd ride back and forth with me to Bethel University while I was in seminary in Memphis. So Nancy being Jason's mother, and so I keep saying that, well, actually, I knew about Jason long before he was ever born, because I knew Nancy long before Jason was born. And then she and Ed got married, and we were friends, and so we've had a long, long relationship. That makes me feel a bit old. I just celebrated my 87th birthday this last May the 5th, and we enjoy, my wife and I, Cheryl, enjoy the life. We just feel like that God has given us a life that's been so full, and so we found each other. My first wife died 27 years ago, and Cheryl and I met, and we married, and we've been on our journey ever since. And she was coming this morning all dressed and ready, and some things in the family took place, and she said, I can't go. So she wanted me to give her regards to you guys today, because she would love to have been here. We're planning on bringing a couple of that's friends of ours on 2 weeks from today, so hopefully she'll be around on that Sunday. But I keep track of Jason on Facebook, and I see where they're traveling, and he and the family. It's so great that they can see the world, because when you get older, you don't see the world very clearly. It's hard for me to even get up out of that seat, so I need a little bit of push off. You know how that is. And but it's great to be here today. Just absolutely wonderful. I look at Jason, and I just think that he is one of the brightest stars in the Cumberland Presbyterian Church today. You're fortunate to have him as your pastor. When we can't come, Cheryl and I often stream the service, and Jason says things that I said, you know, I've preached on that scripture time and time again, but I've never thought of it like that. He has a marvelous ability to look at the scriptures and interpret, and the Lord just works greatly, greatly through him. Jason asked me, I don't know, 6 weeks ago or so, if I could fill in for him today, because he was going to be on sabbatical. And of course I said hello, and I would. And right after that, the pastor at Brent Haven asked me if I would preach. So last Sunday, I preached at Brent Haven. It was 33 years ago this year that I became pastor of Brent Haven. And I was telling some folks earlier, there were 8 people there last Sunday that were there 33 years ago. It's kind of amazing. But I'm glad to be here with you today, because today, for me, is one of the most exciting days in the life of the church. The day of Pentecost. I want to talk to you about a mission impossible. What is it about a mission that people want to join in on that's larger than life? I'm sure some of you have seen on television Mission Impossible. And a lot of you have seen the movies Mission Impossible, with Tom Cruise as the main actor in that movie. In the movies, Tom Cruise is the young man who, he's reckless. He's just reckless, but he's courageous, and he's on a mission. And usually that mission is larger than life. Usually that mission, he's trying to save the world from terrorists or corruption or evil. And so he's successful. He's successful because he's one of those superheroes. He's one of those super agents. And he has some of the most outstanding little trinkets that he has to use in his life to save things. Those gadgets, and I call them kind of like crime-fighting gadgets. They're cool. I love it. It's exciting. It's thrilling. I love things that are exciting and thrilling. And some people say, Pastor, what do you mean talking about movies when we've got Pentecost before us? Well, I want to say to you today that Pentecost is one of the most exciting times in the life of the church. As we look at Matthew's gospel, on Matthew's gospel, Jesus is preparing the disciples, just like he's preparing us. He's preparing the disciples, his followers, those whom he loved, to go on a mission. And in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 8, Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth. Wow, that takes me back. That shocks me. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, he says. And so he's saying to the disciples then, you have authority because I've got authority. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. And as you preach the gospel to all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It's a command that Jesus is giving the disciples and those who are followers of him. And he says, I'll be with you to the end of the age. I'll be with you to the end of the age. Now, suppose we are gathered here today. I don't know how many of us there are, but suppose Jesus appears to us and he says, I want to command you to do something for me. And he says, I'm going to command you to do this. And I've got all power of heaven and earth within me that the Father has given it to me. He says, I want you to go into all the world. Preach the gospel. Baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What do you think we'd feel like if Jesus were here and gave us that command? I'd feel frustrated. I'd feel like I'm not able. I'm not equipped. I don't have any superhuman gadgets to use to go forth. And we think of the people that Jesus was talking to there. He was talking to fishermen. He was not talking to trained individuals who could go forth and share the word. He was talking to tax collectors and shepherds. He was talking to people who didn't have much of anything. They were poor. And he's expecting them to go into all the world and preach the gospel and share the word with all the people of the earth. And he's saying, in a sense, turn the world upside down. My professor at seminary, Dr. Virgil Todd, used to talk about this scripture, and he'd say, I'd like to see the world turned right side up rather than upside down. Turn it right side up. And Jesus was saying this mission will turn the world right side up. Now, that's a mission impossible if you think about doing it under your own resources. If you think about doing it under your own power. So Jesus says, I will be with you as you go forth. I will be with you as you go into the life that you're living. I'll be there and I'll strengthen you. And he says, I know that life is going to be hard. I know that your mission is impossible. But look, I've got the power of heaven and earth, and I have that authority to send you forth. When I was ordained 61 years ago into the ministry of Word and Sacrament, at that time and before, I said, I've been in church all my life, but I don't know the Bible. I don't know really what the Bible says, and I'm 22 years old. And my friends kept saying, Don, that's why you're in college. That's why you're in seminary. Preparing. And Jesus said, I want you to go. I knew I had that command, but I wasn't ready. But Jesus knew that he would propel me into the world. I couldn't do it. But because of Jesus, these 61 years of ministry have been significant to me, at least. Been able to serve some wonderful congregations. And at one time, the Lord led me to be the director of the children's home in Denton, Texas. And you're familiar with that. It's a marvelous ministry. And I enjoyed it while I was there. But I heard the Lord say one Sunday morning, you need to be back in the pastorate. And that's why I'm here today. Now, the Holy Spirit goes with us. The Holy Spirit is within all of us, and that's the power of God. Now, what does the Holy Spirit actually do within us? I suggest three things, and this is really the basis of the whole sermon. If you remember these three things, you got it. This power of the Holy Spirit, the result of that, transformed lives. Secondly, the power of the Holy Spirit breaks down walls. And the power of the Holy Spirit empowers the church, the mighty people of God, to go forth. I was thinking first about, you know, the church had about 120 members in the days of the gospel and Jesus, about 120 members. And I was looking this week, there's 2.4 billion people who claim to be Christians in the world. 120 people. Jesus says, go forth into the world. The gospel has been proclaimed. People have responded, and we are so blessed to be a part of such a mission as that. Because Jesus says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you always. And people say, Pastor, what about the fact that I've experienced pain and death in my life? I know. Pastor, I'm just so frustrated with life. Pastor, my family is so split up. My family is just killing me. Pastor, I've lost my husband, or I've lost my wife. I've lost my son or daughter, which is out of sync. You don't lose your kids before you go. Yet we know that happens. Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm with you to the end of the age. The power of heaven and earth is mine, and I'll be with you to minister to you. You are mine when you trust me with your heart and soul. Jesus pours out his Spirit upon us. If you read some more in the book of Acts, you see that the Holy Spirit is the instrument who breaks down those walls of prejudice between communities, prejudice between husband and wife, prejudice between Jews and Gentiles. He breaks down prejudice between rich and poor. He breaks down the walls that have been created in our families. And we can depend on him. So now we know that we don't walk it alone. We don't try to do things on our own like that. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that works mightily within us. There were a small group of Jews in Jerusalem when they heard about the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Spirit blowing into the lives of those few people there in that room, and they saw visions of fire upon their heads. And the disciples began to speak in languages that these other people understood and knew. Have you ever been in a foreign country and all you heard was that language and you needed something? We were in Turkey one time, and my wife was sick, and I went out to the pharmacy to try to get some medicine over the counter for her. No one spoke English. They didn't know what I was saying. And then there was a teenage boy over here, and he looked up and he began to speak English, and I was so thrilled. I understood in my own language. And the disciples were speaking in languages of the other people. The Holy Spirit transforms lives. The Holy Spirit breaks down walls. And the Holy Spirit empowers the church. The Christians in the early days had a lot of poverty. They were persecuted. And the threat of death they experienced daily. But that never stopped them from gathering and worshiping and praising Almighty God. For them, it was the privilege. It was the privilege to be able to go and share and worship. What a privilege we have this day and age. So free to go and sit down, pray, read the scriptures, sing marvelous, marvelous songs of praise to our Lord Jesus. Someplace I read that there's a picture that was written about the Jerusalem, First Church Jerusalem. Let me read it for you. First Church Jerusalem was located in the wrong place. And most of the people looked on the members of the church with contempt and ridicule. They didn't have a building. They were limited financially. The membership of the church numbered about 120. They didn't have any training for the role they were supposed to fulfill. The treasurer had just run off with the money. The leader, Peter, was caught putting his feet in his mouth a lot of the times and making people mad. Two of their leaders, James and John, had no spiritual depth, but they were enthusiastic. There were divisions within the church. Some of the people were asked to leave and go someplace else. But the one thing that they had was the power and the presence of Almighty God and the Holy Spirit. Remember again, Jesus is saying, all heaven, all power in heaven and earth is mine. Is mine. You know, by all rights, Jerusalem Church, First Church, should never survive. Never should have been able to survive with the way things were. But they had the power of Almighty God with them. And then when Pentecost came and gave them that power, their whole persona became new and fresh. And so when we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with us, and the Holy Spirit is available to us. And when we accept Jesus, we begin to experience some of this. The church has survived. And you think about 2.4 million people who claim to be Christians. There are people with all nations, all colors of skin, all socioeconomic standing. They claim that they love the Lord. Now, the first church, as I said a few months ago, was not very able to do much of anything. But the first revival service they had, they baptized 3,000 members. Power of God through the Holy Spirit. We gather together and worship, sing, praise, fellowship. When we begin to hear the wind, listen. Listen. Do you hear it? The wind of the Spirit is blowing fresh into each of our lives today. The power of God. It may be a still small voice rather than the wind. But He's blowing His will and His way into the presence of each of us. And He's making Himself available to do the mighty works that God is calling us to do. And the people of God said, Amen, amen. Let us stand and sing hymn number 345, Blessed Assurance. If you're here this morning and you feel like you want to come to faith in Jesus Christ, we invite you to come here in the altar. If you're here this morning, would you simply like to rededicate your life? We invite you to come as we stand and sing one of my favorite hymns, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine.
Jesus is mine, all what a God takes.
does something I think I've shared it with the choir, but I think it helps to understand the context of some of these incredibly beautiful hymns of the church. Fanny Crosby wrote this hymn. Prolific hymn writer, thousands of hymn texts. Sweet little Methodist woman. Fanny Crosby, in a botched medical procedure, lost her sight, and she spent the majority of her life blind. And after all of the many years that she spent writing gospel songs and writing hymns, someone had interviewed her and asked her, "Miss Crosby, if your sight could be restored to you, would you want that?" And she said, "No, sir, I would not. When I leave this world, I want the very first thing I see to be the face of my Savior."
Amen.
And when you read that second verse, it says, "Visions of rapture now burst on my sight." She's not talking about the things that you see with your the eyes of flesh, the things that we have here. She's talking about what you see with your spirit and with your soul. As we sing this last verse, try to look ahead. Try to look beyond the things that we see in front of us and just think of the many ways that God has blessed us. That last verse, perfect submission. Here we are.
Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am thy Savior, and happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my soul.
Have any prayer requests or praise? Well, Joy, we know you have a praise. It's yours. So. Are there others? Yes.
Just for my siblings and their families, there was just a lot going on in all of their lives.
And for the fee of life, they're on a ship.
Okay. Yes.
My husband Steve got the results of his quarterly CAT scan that he has done. For the first time in a long time, some of the tumors have grown, not a lot, but so they're going to increase his medicine, which has some delightful side effects, and that he's not excited about, but his spirits are good, and he's a fighter, and he said, you know, we've stopped it before, God will help him stop it.
Y'all need anything?
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Could you please add, my family, my aunt died last Sunday night, and that's mom's sister, and then my mother's sister's nephew, my first cousin, died suddenly of a heart attack last week as well. So we've had a few things that just have difficult.
Mom and Dad are doing great. Dad has it counted down, December or something, that he can drive. But Mom's been taking him everywhere, so she's getting out of the house. They went and saw Mr. Leeper this week. So they're staying busy, or he's keeping her busy, and he's not slowing down. So that's a praise, but still pray for them. And then I had put the Davis family several weeks ago with a divorce, and it's continuing to not be good. So they just need a lot of prayers. So, yes.
My mom, Linda Philbrick, continued to evaluate her to possible surgery with her swallowing difficulties, bone spurs from the spines. Prayers for her.
Any others? We'll do our prayer.
As my wife Cheryl and I watched the service here on TV, one of the things that's impressed me so much, and us so much, is that you have such a prayer life and praying all the time in the life of this church. It moves us because we see the compassion and the care and all that you are. You're a congregation that believes in the power of prayer and the Almighty God. So this morning, let's pray together. Dear Father, you've been so good to us. You've blessed us so richly. Now, Lord, we get frustrated at times. We worry a lot at times. And we suffer a lot at times. There's a lot that we bring on ourselves. And Lord, we hear these prayer requests this morning. Thank you for knowing each one. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being right there with them in that room, in that bed, in that hospital, wherever they are. And Lord, we thank you for those who have improved. They've gotten better. We trust you and we pray that you would continue to bless them and work mightily within their lives. Lord, we just thank you so much for this church. We thank you for the mission you've given. And we thank you for the way that they are fulfilling that mission. Lord, send your Spirit forth with the power of heaven and earth to be upon each one here. Now the Lord bless you. And we just ask you, our Father, that you would watch over and keep us and teach us to pray like you've taught people to pray in every generation. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. The benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. His peace, both now and everlasting. Amen.